Hey, Lisa's on. Hello, everyone. Are we all dry? Chris, how are you doing, Jack? I know there's a lot of rain in Houston right now with the flooding. I'm still in mommy mode. This is Lisa. So I have to finish doing the whole dinner routine. So I'm going to go on mute, and hopefully Chris will be joining us soon.
I'm right here, Lisa.
Oh, you're just here. Okay, perfect.
I'm here. Perfect.
Yeah,
I think she'll be joining us here in a few minutes. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Sorry we're running a little bit late tonight, everybody. It's a crazy day, and it's very busy, but here we are. So thanks for calling in. We're going to wait just another maybe about 1 minute, give others a chance to call in. So everyone who's here, we have a full room. Just hang tight for 1 minute. We'll be right back.
Move.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. It's 9:34. Lisa, did you do any intro yet, or do you want me to cover that?
No, I'm in the middle of some loud stuff, so I was trying to be on mute.
Okay, good deal. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I know we have new people here on the call, and I want to give a shout-out to a couple of my buddies. Josh, are you here? Just check and see if you're here. Josh? Nope. Alex? Nope. Dale? Nope. Ryan? Nope. Wow. None of my buddies are here. Okay. Maybe they'll join later. All right. So welcome to our Thursday night conference call. We've been doing this for several months now. We call ourselves the SOS team. SOS stands for Standing on Scripture, and guys, we're just winging it. We're not preachers, we're not pastors, we're not really in ministry. We're just, you know, three people who are standing for our marriages. We've been standing for, I don't want to say that long, but not too long. Just, you know, enough where we know that God is working, and we know without a doubt that God's bringing our spouses back home, Lisa, and her husband. God will bring her husband back. Sophia, God will bring her husband back. Me, God can bring my wife back. We just know. We're in a waiting room. That's all we are. You know, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next month. We know it's going to happen soon. We just know in our hearts. And we've gone through a lot of the early stages of, as some of you are still experiencing, of, you know, standing and looking for answers and coming into the truth that God has given us, all of us, coming into the understanding and the knowledge and the knowing that God will do what he said. So we just feel like this is a good place and a good opportunity to get together once a week. We could discuss various issues. We do have restored people who do come on as guests, and they share their stories. We've had several already. We post these conference calls that we record. We do record these. We record these only so we can post them on a website, and then others who are not able to listen, they can go and dial in, and they can listen to the full hour and a half of the conference call. Because not everyone can make it, and it's encouraging. And sometimes, you know, you can go back and listen to the same one over and over again. So these are really great. It's a great place for us to connect and, you know, share stories and testimonials and encouragement. We also do offline. We do other connections as well, but they're very small. They're very impromptu. They're not typically scheduled. So that's who we are. We're not affiliated with RMM or Rejoice Marriage Ministries in any way other than just we're part of, you know, the prayer wall. We are there. We engage with people on the prayer wall. We, you know, share stuff back and forth, and then we have the conference calls here. So that's it. That's who we are. We're just like you. No different. So we do record a conference call. We do ask, though, that when we're tonight we're going to have more of like a Q&A like we did last week. So if there is, if you know you're going to have noise in the background, kids, family, whatever, you're preparing meals or doing whatever you do at night, housework, if you know there's going to be noise in the background when we do tonight's call, as we're having interaction with everybody else, please be aware of the noise and then put yourself on mute. If you don't, then I would have to, and then if I forget to unmute you, then you're just kind of listening in and not participating. Otherwise, or the other, you'd have to hang up and dial back in to unmute yourself. So hopefully I don't have to do that. The call is an hour and a half. If you need to leave, you can always dial back in. If you dial back in, please don't announce your name when you come back in, because it's going to be kind of awkward and disruptive of, you know, the flow, whatever's going on. So if you call back in, just come back in quietly. Don't say anything. And then just, you know, catch up with us. Having said all that, I don't think there's anything else. If you're new to the conference calls, welcome. I will tell you that If you stay close to God and stick close to God and everything that he says, faith and obedience, God will guarantee, I guarantee you, God will restore your marriage. And it's not my opinion, it's God's word. Everything I'm saying, everything we're going to say in these conference calls, everything we say, we do our best to give you the scripture that backs it up. Because otherwise, it's just my opinion or Lisa's opinion or Sophia's opinion, and our opinion is no different than your friends, neighbors, people at church, whomever. And it amounts to nothing. God's word is the only word that has any power and authority in your life, my life, and in this world, and in heaven. That's it. So if we don't base it on, that's what we call it, standing on scripture, because that's what we're doing. Okay, so having said all of that, we want to open up with prayer, and I want to ask, are there any guys on the call or women who would like to open us up in prayer besides me? Anyone?
I will.
Okay.
Father, awesome. Father, we just come before you tonight to praise and bring glory to your name. You are the one and only true God, and we honor you and we love you. And God, I just ask that our spiritual eyes and ears will be open tonight, that we will receive a rhema word from you. Lord, I just ask that the people on this call would be encouraged, that their faith would just grow, and that we would all know you are sovereign. You are in control of everything. So there is no reason for us to worry and fret and try to figure it out. We just need to trust you each and every day. And I pray that that truth would just sink deeply into each and every heart tonight. And I pray that you would be with Chris and Sophia, and that you would just help them, Lord, to speak your word tonight and to encourage us. We just thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, for leading us here and for helping us on this journey. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, Lisa, did you want to go first with a couple of questions that you had, or do you want me to kind of get going? Did we lose Lisa? Lisa, are you still with us? Sophia, are you on the call? Do you have any, do you want to start with any questions, or do you want me to go ahead and...
No, you can go ahead, Chris. I think Lisa, she did mention earlier that there was, she was doing something in the background where there's a lot of...
No, my call dropped. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Yeah, my line dropped, but I'm back on.
Lisa, you want to go first? Because you know me, I could be long-winded, so I don't want to...
Okay, well, I'll go first, and then... So let me get to a quiet spot. Can you take care? Can you take care of that, please? Our dog just left us a little present on the floor, so neither one of us is too happy right now. But can you all hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can. I can. Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Hopefully, just let me know if it cuts out. All right, so here's my question. To God be the glory. This question comes because of something that I experienced today. So it's fresh question, fresh, hot off the presses. And so here is my question. I got to scroll all the way up through these questions, Chris. Where is my question? Okay, here it is. When your spouse has lied or cheated, or I'll say have been bad once again, you know, how do you respond when a friend asks you, how are things going with whoever your spouse is? So let me say it again. When you know that your spouse is not, you know, living according to God's will, when they're out there doing whatever they're doing, they're still lying or cheating or in adultery or, you know, just not at home. Maybe they didn't show up for something for the children. But then you have a BFF, and your BFF comes to you, and they're like, hey, Lisa, how are things going with you and, you know, so-and-so? Or, hey, Sophia, how are things going with you and, you know, your husband? Or what's his name? How do you respond to that? What would be your response to your best friend's question? And I'm going to open it up to men and women.
You know, this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit because I'm going to be traveling back home tomorrow to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday, and I'm going to be seeing a lot of people that I haven't seen in a very long time because my mom lives in a different state. So I know they're going to ask. And so I've been thinking about it, and one thing that I keep thinking is just to simply say, he's in God's hands. That's how he's doing. I don't know. Maybe somebody else has a better idea, but it is something to think about.
And let me add this to the question. I want to also add this part to it. The people that are asking you, maybe they're the people, and I like what you said, so hold on to that. And Sophia, I think you were getting ready to say something. The people that are asking you, they know you have maybe in the past have put your husband down, or you've put your wife down, and not meaning to put them down, but you were just expressing your heart. You were just so hurt by all that they were saying and doing until, because this is your best friend, keep in mind, I'm talking about your BFF, your best friend forever. Because they know the history, where they might come to you, you know, trying to console you or whatever, you know, trying to see if things have improved. So go ahead, Sophia.
Well, I mean, I don't have like a BFF. My BFF would be my cousin. So, yes, I did. Unfortunately, I made that mistake towards the beginning where I shared a little too much, you know, that I shouldn't have. But she, you know, we talked maybe like once a month, maybe, you know, once or twice a month. And she always asks me, how's Roman doing? And honestly, I always tell her, you know what, Roman's doing well. He's doing well. And that's about it. Like, I personally don't feel like I have to give too much explanation. Yes, she's my cousin, and I consider her my sister, my BFF. But, you know, that's my simple answer. Roman's doing well. And actually, aside from just my BFF, there's people I actually ran into one of Roman's friends, a mutual friend of ours. I'm sorry, my husband's friend. At the grocery store, and he asked me, hey, how's your husband doing? And he's doing well. He's working a lot of overtime, you know, and I wasn't lying because he is working a lot of overtime, but I don't feel like, even though they're your best friend, yes, we made that mistake in the beginning of sharing too much, but I think with a simple, he's doing well, you know, or I'm praying for him.
What if they ask you, so is let's call him Jack. Is Jack treating you well these days, or how are things with you and Jack? What if they'd be more specific, not just how is Jack, but how are you and Jack doing?
And I told, you know, in my specific situation, my cousin, again, who's like my sister, my best friend, has asked me, oh, how's your husband doing, or how are things with you two, or, you know, she'll try to kind of go into detail, and I'll tell her, you know, my husband's doing well. You know, we talk on occasion here and there. Things are good. And I always do say, you know, I'm praying for him. And that's it.
All right. Anybody else have any comments or thoughts?
I think the best thing to do is just say that they're doing well, because if you think about it, if someone asks you, oh, how is he treating you, you can say good, because it's the spirit, you know, that's not treating you good. It's not your spouse. So you just say it's good, you know?
Well, I want to share this. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
for me, it all depends on whose accent. Is it, if it's my brothers and sisters in Christ, which they are already praying for him, I would, you know, give them details. However, my relatives who are not with Christ, I don't give out any details. I just tell them I am praying for him.
That's really good. That's good that you differentiate like that, because you're right. So what I want to say is, this situation hit me last night and carried over till this morning. And this is a real solid BFF person that would not accept he's doing well or all is good or we're enjoying time together as a family. She would not accept any of those responses from me. And even though I was being genuine and sincere, she went back into the past. I don't know if you all ever experienced that, where no matter what you say, oh, he's good, he's you know, we're spending family time together, she instantly went right back into all the past negative comments that I had made before. And I thought about Proverbs, the 31st chapter, where it talks about the virtuous woman. So, men, hopefully you can appreciate this as well. But there's a verse in Proverbs 31, verse 23, and it says, her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And we want the husband to be known in a positive manner, but because I had spent so many years of degrading him and saying negative things about him and presenting him as an ungodly husband, you know, just presenting him in a very negative manner, then that's how he was known. So no matter what I said, she didn't accept it. She just kept on, he is this, he is that, I've never known, he's not going to change, he's going to be this, that, and the other. And I just, and then all of a sudden, I realized that she was saying all of these things because she's seen him through my eyes. She doesn't know him as a husband. So all the things she was, and then she said, this is what really opened my eyes. And Chris, you can appreciate this when our physical eyes are dark and our spiritual eyes can be open. She said, oh, he's great as a friend. I think he's really great as a friend, but, you know, as a husband, and I had to stop. You're not married to him. You've never been married to him. So how do you know how he is as a husband? Only because of me. Only because of me. So I had to stop, and I had to repent. And then God took me to two other scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all here. But he took me to the one where it says we are to speak life about our tongue being a deadly member, and it has the power to curse or to speak life. What is that scripture? I know you all know it. What is that scripture, Chris?
I'm looking it up right now.
The power of the tongue to speak.
Power.
There we go.
See,
everybody know it.
Thank you.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Is in the power of the tongue. That's yes. So I had spoken death over him all of this time, and then I thought, and I posted this to the women's group that we have, and I posed the question to the women, how are we presenting our husband to others? Do they see him as a cheat and a liar or as a man of integrity? Have we said, I wish he would spend more time with the kids, or have we praised him for being the best dad that he can be or that he is? And then I repented. I said, Father, forgive me for all the times that I spoke death over him. And then I thought, too, the word says that God inhabits the praises of the people. And man was created in God's image. And right now I'm speaking of the actual man, male. He was created in God's image. He was created first. Adam was created in the likeness of God. Woman was taken from Adam's rib. And so if God inhabits, which means he comes and he sits down. When we begin to praise God, he comes and he sits down in the midst of that praise. No difference is that husband. And if I'm wrong, man, you all tell me. But where a man is being praised, he wants to be in that atmosphere. He's drawn to that area. So if we are saying things negatively about our husband, even if it's an ex-husband, he may very well be doing the thing that you are saying, but it is our job as a virtuous woman to build him up, to set a standard so high that in the Holy Spirit, in the atmosphere, God is going to have to pull him up to what we are saying about him. Because, see, that's where God comes in. That's God's job. So I said from this day forward, when that girl, my BFF, asked me, how are things with you and Sam? That's his name right now. How are things with you and Sam? I'm going to sing his praises the same way I sung the nasty things that I used to say. I'm going to sing his praises. Oh my gosh, girl, he is just awesome. He's just really, coming around. He's taking care of us. Oh, I'm so thankful to how he provides for us. I'm going to sing his praises. Even if he doesn't give me what I'm looking for and what I'm wanting, I'm still going to sing his praises. So you might say, well, that's a lie. No, we're supposed to, you all say it all the time, speak of things that are not as though they were.
Romans 4:17, yeah.
Thank you. How am I going to speak life? And I didn't understand that years ago when a preacher told me to do that. I was like, I ain't lying. But now I understand. So when you go to that family reunion or that family gathering and they ask you about your husband, you say it with as much enthusiasm and praise for him as you can. Oh, he's doing great. I'm really thankful how, we're getting along, whatever. It can be a little thing, but I want you to turn it into a big tree. It can be a seed, but you turn it into a tree and you water it and just boost that man up, because believe it or not, the angels are hearing, God is hearing. Just like the enemy hears, so is God. And it's setting the atmosphere for him to return home. So that's all, Chris, I wanted to share. That was my only one question.
I have a comment on that. This is Robin. Hey, Lisa. I have a comment about that. It's funny you brought that up, because me and one of my good friends last week was actually discussing that very issue. And in the sake of being transparent, I know everybody has their different personalities, but I'm kind of a realist, and I believe in being just straight up direct with people. I don't necessarily feel like I need to go into my business, but if I've relied on this person in the past, if I have, cried on their shoulder, came and told them everything about my business, and I consider them a BFF, that BFF would already know that I've grown in Christ, I've gotten in the Word, and I've stopped talking about my spouse in a negative way. So, and even in this situation now in my stand, I did that. I wasn't in the Bible as much as I should have been. I wasn't carrying out the principles of the virtuous woman. So, of course, when we separated, I was saying anything and everything to whoever would listen. That's how angry and upset I was. Once I got into the stand and I started reading and understanding what my role truly is as a wife, and I started growing, then naturally my BFF already knows that. So she wouldn't necessarily have to ask me about my spouse, because she already knows. And I'm already at a point to where I'm saying to her, you know what, I'm going to stop talking negative about him. I'm going to start building him up, blah, blah, blah. And, in fact, I told her, keep me accountable. And anytime I get on the phone with her, if I'm like, girl, you know what, today I'm just, she's like, we ain't doing that today. You told me to hold you accountable. So, no, we speaking life into this marriage. So my BFF has been on that journey with me. So when I fall, she's there to pick me up. I'm very conscious of, I don't want to come across as fake either. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I could do what you're doing and we should, but I also don't want to be fake. I don't want to be fake. I want to be real. And what, and we have to be very careful if that other person has been supportive of us that we don't come across as fake, because then what happens if you really, something go down and you need a shoulder to cry on and you don't have anybody, if that is supposed to be your BFF. Do you all understand what I'm saying about that?
I do. And it's not being fake, because we do it all the time. We build our children up. Our children may have done something that's really bad, but you're not. If we're told, you would, if you tell your child, you know, what you did was bad, blah blah blah, instead of focusing on the good part of it, that's what we're doing. You focus on the good and you accentuate the good. That's what we're doing. And you're right. And someone said earlier about there's two different types of BFFs. I got a BFF that's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I also had a BFF that's not really walking it out. She knows of God, but she doesn't have a relationship with God. So so she and I don't talk as much as we used to. But so she's going to be quick to go back into protecting me as opposed to raising above me and looking at the spiritual things in life. You know, do you know what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I do.
Right,
that's
right.
What I was going to say. I think, you know, Robin, you're blessed to have a BFF that encourages you and encourages your stand. But I think there's other women as well who have BFFs who aren't walking with the Lord, who don't encourage it. And any chance they get, they always want to go back to the past. So we're just kind of trying
but,
to,
but
you know.
But how can we educate them going forward? Because the questions are not going to stop is what I'm saying. So if we pull them in at one point, then all of a sudden you cut them off. It's like, and I'm not saying you have to continue with the information. What's wrong with stopping and saying, hey, look, I know I, you know, shared a lot of things with you and I was at a negative point in my life, but I am moving forward on positivity, you know, positivity. I've been praying. I've been getting in my word, and I realize I was wrong for telling you all that. You know, what
but then what they do, they see this, they still see, they see you've changed. Like, she sees that I've changed and I'm a different person. Mm-hmm. But as far as she's concerned, she's still seeing him through the old Lisa eye. She doesn't see him as changing. So it's my job as a virtuous woman to now present him as a man that is known well in the gate and not known in that negative light. Because all I've done is presented the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
So she can see me changing. And the other thing, too, Robin, is I have had to minister to her and start really sharing Jesus with her just the same way mm-hmm. I would if with anybody else on the street. And I've been really ministering to her, and that's not something I've done in the past. But this time I was just like, I may sound like a Jesus freak or however you want to say it, but I could not do this journey without God. She wants to talk about the other things, you know, oh, well, God may have someone better for you. And I thought about what one of the other ladies said. I said, God would never have brought me through all of this. You think this was my will? Nevertheless, not my will, but his will be done. And I just began to talk about how God has come in and saved me and cleaned me up. So the focus is, you know, she may not be able to see his changes, but I'm trying to help her understand we all have to come to a place of repentance. We will be left here. So anyhow, it's not being fake. You really are not being fake. You're taking the small things that he may have done. You're not lying. We don't want to make up stuff. But I even asked God, I said, God, help me to see the small things. Say what? You've done
I guess,
it?
I guess fake is not the right word. I guess transparent would probably be a better word. You know, I know I'm saying this because I, you know, you have somebody come to you for, it could be anything. I'm going to use an example about they want to get information about a job, right? And you, I'll use that example. Oh, you know, there's a, this job is hiring here. This is what you need to do. You need to contact this person. And I, from my own personal experience, I had a person like that. They were interested in a job. I told them about a job and who they need to contact and let them know I referred them. Well, they never came back to me and even told me that they had gone through the steps I told them. It wasn't until later that I ran into the person who I told them to reach out to, and that person said, oh, I talked to your friend. I hired him. They started a month ago. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't they call me? Why didn't they tell me? you know, I turned them on to something, you would think that they would have reached back and said, hey, Robin, I did, you know, reach out to the person you told me to, and I got the job. I'm using that as an example where we're throwing all our business out to this person, then all of a sudden you're shutting up, and then they're inquiring, and then, oh, he's great, he says he did. And meanwhile, they're looking and knowing that he's not technically great yet. I mean, we know in the spirit realm this person has been healed and God is going to reunite this marriage, but then they're also still witnessing it. And what's wrong with not necessarily going into the bad or being just transparent? Because here it goes. The devil also want us to be in shame or hiding and things like that. What's wrong with being transparent without going into a long, sordid story? I can just say, hey, I'm in a different walk right now. I'm still praying to God that he's, you know, what I'm praying for in the spirit realm is manifesting in the natural. And, hey, can you join me in prayer? Like, I would prefer to be just more transparent than, because, you know, it may change that person around to now you have another prayer partner to help you versus them thinking, you know, is she, you know, shutting me down or something? Because I'm asking, I was there with her in the thick. Now, all of a sudden, I get no information. Y'all understand what I mean by that when I'm saying.
You're right. I agree with that. When you say transparent, I agree with that, what you're saying. But we, long as we're not saying negative stuff, we just have to be careful who we're sharing what we're sharing to.
And that's true.
Yeah, we just have to be careful what we're sharing, and we got to know where that person is in Christ. Mm-hmm. So, but anyhow, yeah, I do agree with you there, Rob. When you say be transparent, if that's what you mean, yes. If transparent means that I'm telling that even that person everything, and you all know, Sister Bree and myself, we're very close. She's probably the only person that I would show my heart to and to how I truly feel, because I know she's going to be genuine in God. She's not going to say anything at all negative about my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my sister BFF, now she'd be ready to come here and beat everybody butt. So I got to be really careful what I share with her.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments or questions or, like, comment on Lisa's question? Okay, Chris.
I do. Why not just answer the questions with what God told you? Hey, buddy, how's your wife doing? How's your marriage? What's going on? You know, praise the Lord. He's bringing her home. When's she coming home? That's great news. I don't know. He knows. He hasn't told me yet, but all I know is that he's bringing her home. Christian or no Christian, if it's Christian, great. I share my faith, maybe encourage that person, whoever asks. If it's a non-Christian, it's a great opportunity to, you know, share our faith. What do you mean she's coming home? God's bringing her home? Yeah. You know, I could go into a short thing of, you know, God says in the Bible that, you know, he hates divorce. He's the one who heals marriages. Jesus Christ is the life and resurrection. He heals, you know, he heals and restores marriages all the time. Really simple. Dude, I've got a problem with my wife. Tell me more.
Well, Chris, what if you get this response?
Let's get together for coffee.
What's that? Chris, what if you get this response, Chris? But Chris, man, she was so rebellious, and she hasn't changed, and you two are not compatible. Why would you want to go back to that? It's just going to be bad again.
Oh, my goodness. I've been asked that several times. That's true. What you just said, I've been asked by my attorney. I've been asked by several people within the court system because I do have that piece of paper. You notice I don't call it what it is because I don't acknowledge it. We don't understand the power of our tongue and our words. I will not give life, me, I will not give life to that piece of paper that was issued by someone on earth with laws that are contrary to what God said. Look, we either take God seriously or we don't. I'm just to tell you what I do. Because here we are in September, in December, that piece of paper was issued. within half an hour, I'm on the phone having a conversation with my wife. And I told her, well, you finally got what you wanted, but I know that it's not going to last long. We were laughing and joking on the phone within half an hour of both of us receiving that email with that piece of paper. And I will tell you, see, here's where the rubber meets the road. At some point, we need to get serious with God and say, God, I take you seriously. What you said to me is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's no court system, there's no judge, there's no one, including your spouse, who can contradict what God said. Either God's a liar and we believe everybody else, or we believe God and everyone else is a liar. We can't have both, because then we're double-minded, we're walking the fence, and you know what? Who owns the fence? Satan owns the fence. So you're on the fence, you're his. Sorry, it's going to be some hard truth here, but the truth is in the Bible. This is all scripture. We all know this. At some point, we need to get serious and say, God, I take your word for it. Because I just told you, in half an hour from receiving that email from the court, in that half hour space, I immediately dropped to my knees. I started laughing, and with tears of joy, I'm rejoicing. I'm not kidding, and I'm not embellishing whatsoever. And I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, thank you, because I know that what you said supersedes what this piece of paper said and what this judge said and this court said and this system said and what my wife believes. We can choose to believe lies and fool ourselves, and we deceive ourselves. When we stop deceiving ourselves and we take God seriously, we're going to see dramatic changes in our hearts, in who we are, and then we're going to see dramatic changes. You know what follows? We change, and then our spouses change. And then they want to be around us. And then they want to be with us. And then they want to come home. And you go in and you read every single testimonial of a spouse, husband, wife, who God brought back home. And you'll see that that's exactly what God did. God's the one who turns the hearts. Do we not understand there's scripture in the Bible that says, I'm the one who turns the hearts of the kings, the hearts of kings like channels of rivers, and I turn them wherever I want. God said that. You can speak until you're blue in the face for the next 100 years to your spouse, and it won't move them one inch. But God could come and touch their heart, and instantly 1,000 wild horses can't keep them from coming home. They will beat down your door. They'll camp out in your front yard until you take them back.
Chris, you sound so good saying that.
I'm going to tell you, I have witnessed this stuff. I've read this in testimonials, hundreds of them. I've got the books. I've got the website, praisereports.org. Go there. There are at least 85, 90 restored marriage testimonials there. I've got books on restored marriage testimonials. God does this every single day. When I finally came to knowing God's going to do it for me, when I finally took him seriously, things changed for me. My wife, I'm going to give you some praise reports. Have you guys been reading my praise reports that I've been posting on the RMM prayer wall? Say yes. Give me some feedback. Yes?
Yes, anybody? I have.
Okay.
I have.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Of course.
I post on the prayer wall, I post nothing but encouragement and what God is doing with me in my marriage. Why? Because I take him seriously. He says that the power of my tongue can bless or curse my marriage. Every day I'm thinking to the Lord, Lord, you've already done it. I pray with my girls. Lord, you've already done it. It is finished. I don't need to come before you every single day. I used to until I learned better. You pray, you ask, you believe. If you believe, why do you keep asking? If you can't believe that you've received and keep asking for it. That seems contradictory. Either you believe you received. Jesus says, ask whatever you want and believe that you received, and it will be done for you. See, first comes the believing, and then it will be done for you. We don't believe because we see. We believe, and then we see. I'm sorry, I felt like I kind of hijacked this, but I feel very strongly about this. I cannot do anything but speak God's word to you, because I speak God's word to my wife, to my marriage, every single day. And I'm not speaking to her directly. I'm speaking in my spirit, in my prayers, when I'm before God. Whenever I am, morning, day, and evening, and I'm praying and I'm hanging out with God, and I'm hanging out with God. Guys, I am hanging out with God. Like when the kids are with me for my week, I close my bedroom door, I go in a closet or I'm in my bedroom, but I close the door and I hang out with God. I tell the girls, hey, I'm going to go hang out with God. I hang out with God. I had to learn how to do that. And when I started doing that, God starts speaking to me, and there are days. I just had a conversation with someone yesterday or the day before. When I have days of prayer, a day of prayer and fasting, and I'm hanging out with God, there are certain days of prayer and fasting when God does not stop talking to me. He'll say something, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is so awesome, Lord, you're speaking to me. And then, you know, a little while later, he speaks again. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, some of you know what a rhema word is. I get rhema words throughout the day some days when I'm praying and fasting and I'm hanging out with him. It's like multiple. When you see me post stuff on the prayer wall, that's not me. I have nothing to say to you guys. I have zero. But when I'm posting that stuff on there, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. That's God speaking to me. And if he's saying it to me, he's saying it to each and every single one of you. Your doubt is a lie. Your doubt is a lie. Write down your doubt. Write, like, pull out a piece of paper and write it down, and then look at that. Look at the doubt that you have in your mind, the fear, the doubt, the concern. Write it down, and then look at it and stare at it, and then ask the Lord, Lord, where is this in your Bible? Where is this in your scripture? From Genesis to Revelation, where is this written? And the Holy Spirit is going to say, it doesn't exist. Do we not put on the armor of God every single morning? One of them is the helmet of salvation. You know what I pray when I pray that? I pray that every single day. You know what I pray? Lord, give me and my wife and my children every single day. Dress us with your spiritual armor. And I go through all of them. When I get to the helmet of salvation, I said, Lord, give us the helmet of salvation. Give us your wisdom and your discernment so we could use it properly. And give us the will and the desire. Do you know that the will and desire that we have, God gives us the will and desire. Lord, give me the will and desire to pray the right pray. Give me the will and desire to pray and fast. Everything that I need, that I see that I'm lacking, give me the will and desire to love my wife the way you want me to love my wife. My wife, not someone else, not another woman, not, you know, somebody I see at the gas station or at the store or wherever, my wife. Give me the will and desire to love my children the way you want me to, as their father, or my wife as her husband. So I ask God. I imagine God's with me, like physically in a room with me, and I talk to him like I'm imagining you guys are in my room right now. We're on this conference call. That's how real it's become to me. And I've seen God do incredible things. I'm going to share a couple of praise reports with you from just the last couple of days. 2 days ago, my wife, some of you read this on the prayer wall. 2 days ago, out of the blue, This is the first day. My wife moved out 2 years ago. I've got praise reports all the way, tons of them. And I'm journaling all of this. And I post them online. I post them online because I want to encourage you. Because God is not a respecter of people. If he's doing it for me, he's going to do it for you. And he's doing it for me because I know he says so in the Bible, and I've read the testimonials of hundreds of others he's restored. So we, Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Whose? All those who have gone before us. Have they encountered the same stuff you and I are encountering? Absolutely. There's nothing you and I are encountering that those before us who have restored marriages have not encountered, or worse. And yet God did it for them. And God says, I'm not a respecter of people. So if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. If he's doing it for me, he's going to do it for you. He will do it for you. His guarantee, not mine. You quit, you walk away, you give up the victory. You might as well say to Satan, here's the victory that God gave me. Here's the resurrection that God gave me. I'm holding in my hands, called Genesis to Revelation, his holy word. He gave it to me. But you know what, Satan? I quit. Here, I'm giving it to you. You could have it. You guys saw the movie War Room, right? Do you remember the scene where the wife walks out of the house, she closes the door, and she screams and says, Satan, you cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my husband. They belong to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you remember that scene? I love that scene. Because when I watched that six, 8 months ago, and I watched it several times, I played that over and over and over again. I said, where does she get the nerve and the courage and the boldness to say that? And I'll tell you, over the last 9 months, God has developed that in me where I don't care. When I see my wife saying something negative or contrary or some circumstances contrary, I start laughing now. And I, you know what I do? And I say to Satan, Satan, you're up to no good anymore. You want me to believe this new lie of yours. You want me to believe what I'm seeing. But see, I'm blind to what you're saying because I'm in the spirit. And because I'm in the spirit, I see what God says. And I know what God said. And he's my friend because he called me that. Let me tell you a couple of praise reports. So 2 days ago, my wife out of blue said, okay, so let me give you a little bit of a backstory here. Last Friday, a week ago, Friday the 13th, my wife went in for a shoulder surgery. So her arm is in a sling, and it's going to be in a sling for several weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long. So she's got a pretty big dog. She's got a Malamute. He's big. He's big. She takes him for walks and stuff because they have to be taken out and played and with and walked and everything else. She cannot do it in her condition. So she does have, you know, two or three different dog sitters who go over to her house, you know, throughout the day, weekends, whatever, and they periodically take care of, you know, her dog because she can't do it right now. So I've offered, hey, if you want, I can come on over. I can help you with basic housework, or I can take, you know, your dog for a walk, do all of this stuff. No, I'm fine. No, I got it. No, I want it. I got it handled. Now, you women, you are wives, and you will understand this. Think of that. Put on your wife hat for a second, and think of this. Think of what it would take for my wife to do what she did. 2 days ago, out of the blue, she says, "Hey, I know you have the kids this weekend and next week, but if you would be interested to come on over the weekend and walk the dog, I would welcome it." First of all, let me tell you a couple of things that are huge about this. I've offered before, she said no. She declined, respectfully, she declined because she has several people that rotate, you know, on the schedule to do that for her. She doesn't want me to do it. When a woman does that with the husband, the wife does that with the husband, she's keeping an arm's length. She's keeping an arm's length. So all of a sudden, she turns around. Now she wants me and invited me to do that. The other thing is, guess what? The girls, our kids, are going to be with me. So she feels safe and comfortable and wants me to be there. This is the first time in 2 years that she's moved out, the first time that I'm going to be at her place where the kids are with me at home. So it'll be just the two of us alone without the kids. Because for the first 2 years up until now, she's always used the kids as a buffer to keep that arm's length. Because wives, you know that when you're not happy with your husband or you're not happy with someone, you're not feeling safe, comfortable, you don't want to be around them, you do what you can to keep an arm's length. What does it take for my wife to invite me over, despite the fact that she has people who can do that, to have me over there when the kids are not there? They're here at home with me because I have our marital home. I have it. She bought herself another home, you know, 10 minutes away across town. So she invites me over not only just Saturday but Sunday also. So this will be the first time I will be at her house without the kids being there, so no buffer zone, just the two of us, and she invited me to go. And, of course, I'm going to probably be walking the dog by myself because her arm's in a sling, but who knows? If God wants, she'll join me on the walk. And then the other thing is that last night, out of the blue, late at night, she sends me a text, "Hey, can you help me out tomorrow morning? Can you come on over tomorrow morning and walk the dog?" That's today, this morning. So at 7 o'clock this morning, I was at her house walking the dog and playing with them and giving them some exercise in her backyard. And you know what she did? Because when I was done and he was tired out, I put him back inside the house. I, you know, closed up the door and everything, and then I took off. And I sent her a text saying, "He's back in the house, door's closed. I'm taking off. If you need anything else, let me know." Again, her arm's in a sling, and, you know, I've offered to help around the house to do whatever. She sends me a text seconds later saying, "Thank you for doing that. I saw you out the window, and I saw you guys playing, and he was running really hard." She was watching me. She was, like, sitting there watching me playing with a dog. Instead of getting ready for work, she was in the window. She was watching me from the – I had no idea. I'm just having fun with the dog playing. My eyes and my focus are not on her. My eyes and focus are on God. See, because God's going to do what he's going to do when he's going to do it. I don't need to worry about that. I don't care because God said his timing is perfect. Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3. That's another Rhema word I received 2 years ago. Write the dream down. He gave me a dream that coincides with that. He gave me a dream of our restored marriage. And then the following morning, I got that scripture. Somebody sent it out of the blue, texted me that scripture. That was a confirmation. But Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3, write the dream down because it's going to happen. You might have to wait for it, but because it's going to happen, you won't wait long. That's a short version. It's going to happen. What do I need to worry about? Every single restored marriage testimonial says exactly the same thing. And anyone who's prayed for anything and received all of their prayers, they will all say the same thing. I didn't know when, and I didn't know how. But God did, and I just rested in that place of knowing. See, when we get down into our hearts that we know, we take God seriously, we take him at his word, we deny every lie and deception that's trying to creep into our minds and then down into our hearts. We deny access. You know, try to get on somebody's cell phone or somebody's computer and they got a password, access denied, and access denied, and that's what I do with Satan now. Same, you're not getting in. Get out. Go home. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Resist and he will flee. Does God say that? So can I get to my Q&As, Lisa, Sophia? Can I get in? Can I get to mine? Can God lie? Here's my question.
Can we give them a chance to respond? Because you said a lot.
Yes, sure. Sure. So okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Because I get carried away.
If they have anything to say.
Chris, I have something.
Robin.
I just want to say thank you because I feel like I just needed to hear this tonight. Because sometimes I do think, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this?
Okay?
So thank you.
All glory to God. All glory to God. When I'm speaking and I'm quoting scripture, that's God speaking to me and to you.
Okay.
God's word is no different for me or you. It's the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. We change and he changes us, but he's perfect. And he's already complete. He's been complete. He's always been complete. I am that I am. That's who God is. We change. He's immutable. So I'm glad you're being blessed by this, because this is God speaking. This is through me. Who else has any other comments, questions?
I just wanted to say one more thing, and that is just the last scripture that you mentioned. I'm just leaving a small group, and towards the end of the small group, we were talking about that scripture. So I'm like, I'm going to go home and read. Yes, we just talked about it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it to you guys real quick because it's really, really short. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that whoever reads, whoever runs may read it. For the vision is for an appointed time, scheduled. It's the day and the hour is scheduled for when your husband, your wife, is coming back home. Who holds the hearts in his hands? Not your spouse, not you, not Satan, not any of the demons, not your friends, not the other person. No one in heaven or on earth holds your spouse's heart other than God himself in his hand, period. I've got scripture. Send me a message, and I'll send you the scripture I've got on that. When I did this a year and a half ago, I searched the Bible for the scripture on this. I stopped because I was getting so many scriptures throughout the Bible. God moves the hearts. God changes the hearts. God controls the hearts. God directs them wherever he wants. Pharaoh, when Israel wanted to leave, God said, I will harden the hearts, I will soften the heart. And he did it back and forth 7 times. King Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years, God turned his heart into a heart of an animal. And for 7 years, he lived like an animal in the wilderness. And after 7 years, boom, instantly, in one moment, God touched his heart, restored it back to a human, and he came back, and then they cleaned him up, and he was restored to his throne. And you know what he said? Now I know that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the one and only true God. Period. God was making a point. God, when God moves in your spouse's life and heart, when God touches them, instantly, that same day, that same afternoon, they could be home. They could be saying, I hate you, I'm never coming home, you should move on, find someone else, we're done, it's over, never in a million years am I coming home. They could say that in the morning, by afternoon, they're loading up their stuff into your house, or loading up your stuff into their house. And you know what? If you go read Bob Steinkamp's books, he talks about that. There are many restored testimonials on the Restored Marriage Ministry. They have witnessed it over and over and over again, and they laugh about it and joke about it, saying by morning when it's fast, in the morning, a spouse will say something. By afternoon, they're on their way home. They're moving back home, or they're moving their wives back home. Because when God takes his time to do his work, but when he moves suddenly. Watch out. Get out of his way. Because when he moves, he's going to run over everybody who's standing in the way. That's God. I don't think we appreciate how mighty of a God we serve. He hates sin. He loathes it. But he loves to keep his promises. And he loves to shower us with grace and mercy. And I don't care whatever seems... This is for someone. I don't know who. Whatever Satan is holding you hostage in right now, whatever Satan is holding over your head right now, causing fear and doubt, like you've messed up, you screwed up, you did something you weren't supposed to do, you did something you knew you was wrong, somehow you made a mistake, God's saying to you right now, his grace and mercy, oh my goodness, it's covered. His grace and mercy is more than sufficient for whatever you did. So somebody on this call right now, you've got Satan holding something over your head. And because of that something is creating fear and doubt. God delights in being merciful. Hebrews 4:16. I'm going from memory. Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly before the throne of God and receive his grace and mercy. Let me say that again. Come boldly before the throne of God. You're not a wimp. You're not a sinner. You've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is already done. You're already his child. Now come boldly as his son or daughter before his throne, that you might receive his grace and mercy. Because if you don't, it's waiting for you. Just like salvation, you have to receive it. You have to choose to receive it. So when we're done with this conference call tonight, whoever you are, go before his mind. He's waiting for you. He just wants you to confess it, repent, and then he's going to give you his grace and mercy. And then you stand on that grace and mercy and forgiveness so that he might build up your faith and your courage and your boldness. Okay, sorry. That was for somebody. I don't know who. Be blessed, whoever you are.
It probably was for all of us. I do have a question, Chris, for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to say this, Chris. I do feel like your message is really hitting home. I wish I can pull some of your faith and melt it in my soul so I can be as passionate as you are. I do have a question for you. I think a lot, and I'm speaking for myself and maybe some other people who are listening, but if I know God's answer is not no, I could probably be just as passionate and fired up. How do I know that God's answer is not a no? Because some people are saying, oh, you know, Robin, you're praying and you're standing and you're doing all of that. What if God is telling you no? And so you're standing for if his answer is no. How do you know K-N-O-W, that is not a no?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, God just gave me an answer. But I'm going to give you something first. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and friend?
Yes.
That's your answer, because everything is yes and amen in Jesus Christ, and you are in Jesus Christ. So everything is yes and amen. There's no maybe. Everything. You want the scripture? Because you know that scripture. Because I know scripture. I just have to Google it, because I don't know where it is in the Bible exactly. Some verses I know where it is, and give me, unless somebody can beat me to it, thing is. Okay, here we go.
Second Corinthians 1:20.
There. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And if we are in Jesus Christ, we are children of God, and we are co-heirs to the throne. And everything that Jesus Christ has received, I have received. Jesus Christ says, I'm giving different scriptures now. Jesus Christ says, I have been given all power and authority, both in heaven and on earth. And I give to you. Now go make disciples of others. What he has, he gives to us. You already, every single one of you, already possess the full power and authority, the same as Jesus Christ has been given, because Jesus Christ shares that with us, because we are in him and he is in us. God hates divorce. Ask. Okay, well, this is part of my Q&A that I was going to do tonight. Mark 11:23-24. Ask anything in my name of God our Father, and I will do it, that our Father would be glorified through me. Mark 11:23-24. Does that answer your question?
It does. Tell me, and I'll,
find me a verse
question.
In the Bible where God said no. No or maybe. Find me a verse. We are in the New Covenant. The New Testament is a New Covenant under Jesus Christ. And it's a much better covenant than everyone in the Old Testament had. And yes, it 1 Corinthians 1:20. Was it first? Yeah, second. 2 Corinthians 1:20. We just read it. Everything is yes and amen through Jesus Christ. You show me, I challenge anybody, show me in the scripture, in the New Testament, anywhere where God said, well, you know, I'll do it for Chris, but I won't do it for you. I've done it for all these other people who have faith and believed and received, but, yeah, I'm not sure if I could do it for you or for a person next to you.
But what if your faith and believing and you weren't, but it wasn't, you went into it wrong in the first place. You know, like you always say that if you, any marriage that is born out of adultery, God will not bless. So what if, you know, and then, but yet you feel as though God has called you to stand for your marriage.
Okay, so summarize that question because I'm not sure where the question is.
I'm standing for my marriage, but my marriage was born out of, I'm not saying that, y'all, my marriage was not born out of adultery, but I'm standing for my marriage. My marriage was born out of adultery, but I believe wholeheartedly that God brought this man in my life, and now we are having some problems, or we're divorced, or we're separated, whatever the case is, and I believe that God has called me to stand for this marriage to be restored.
Well, then, so let's go to the scripture. Let's see what it says. Right. Does God hate sin?
Yes.
Here's a simple answer, guys. Does God hate sin?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
He hates sin. Is adultery sin?
Yes.
Well, let's put them together. God hates divorce. So if your spouse is divorcing you because they're in adultery, in sin, and they continue that sin and continue that sin, how can God bless that and respect that?
I don't think that's the question. I don't think that's the question. I belong to another group where there are lots of people who are standing for marriages that are second and third marriages, where the original covenant spouse is still alive and maybe they've gotten remarried and divorced, but these people now are standing for this subsequent marriage and feel that God has told them, you should stand for this marriage.
Okay, but the fine print, the caveat, though, is if this current marriage they're standing for, that they feel and believe God is telling them to stand, if that marriage, was that marriage born out of adultery?
Some yes and some no.
Then my only answer to you and to them is God has the answer for them. I don't. I'm not God. I don't know. This comes up in our conference calls several times, and I don't know why. Let's find a verse where it says marriage is a covenant, because I think we find it in Malachi. Am I right? Right? Anybody? It's Malachi 2.
Yeah, but if we're under the new covenant, right? If we're under the new covenant, doesn't Jesus say he forgives all our sins? He doesn't see them. So if you've truly repented but you've made mistakes, say you divorced in the past or something,
okay,
before you
so
were a believer, it's all forgotten.
Here's the problem. If I divorce my wife, okay, let me give you this scenario because I think I see what you guys are saying. If you're in a second marriage and God's telling you to stand, yes, what were the circumstances of that previous divorce, whether it's for you or for your spouse that you've been previously married? What were the circumstances? And that's where you need to go before God and say, God, I've divorced my first, you know, okay, here's the scenario. God, I divorced my first wife, and now I'm on my second, but I'm standing for my second marriage wife. Please restore this marriage. Well, there's a lot of variables in here only God knows. What were the circumstances of the first marriage? What were the circumstances surrounding the divorce? Were they both Christians? Did anyone stand for the marriage? Did I become a Christian after I divorced my first wife and now I'm on my second? Again, this is a hypothetical, you guys. My wife is my first wife, my first marriage. So, you know, this is a hypothetical. But if I were to have been previously divorced and I'm now on my second wife and I'm standing for my second marriage and second wife, and I believe God spoke to me, here's what I really have to do. God, I lay it all at your feet. You need to tell me, do I stand for my second marriage and the second wife, or do you want me to go back to my first? In cases where there are multiple marriages, more than one, that person really needs to get on their face, pray, fast, seek God's will. Like, God's will be done. Because God's plan is better for you than your own. So if God says go back to your previous one, you need to go back to your previous one. God, not me. I'm not telling you because I don't know. I don't know. I know God's going to have a problem with if I divorce, if I'm on my first marriage with my first wife and I deliberately leave her because I'm in adultery with another woman, and so I divorce my first wife and then marry the second one, will God bless that adulterous, that marriage that was born in adultery, will God bless it?
No.
I've deliberately left my first wife to go be with the second wife. Go look and see if you can find anything in the Bible that speaks to that. See if God blesses sin in that way. The closest thing that I could find, that I can think of, is David and Bathsheba. He took a woman who did not belong to him. He had an affair, and they had a child out of that adulterous marriage. Now, notice, he also murdered the husband. God forgave him of the murder, but God also took their illegitimate son because he died shortly after. He prayed and fasted for, I don't know, 7 days. And as soon as he died, he said, that's it, it's over. God's decision's made. I'm not going to argue with God. But then he took Bathsheba as his wife. So I don't have an answer. But if God says he's going to restore, he's going to restore. So if you're on your first marriage, you pray and you stand. God will restore. If you are on a second or a third marriage, then you need to take that to the Lord. I don't have an answer.
But then it was okay that he was able to marry. It was
I'm sorry?
Okay that he married Bathsheba after she was released from her first husband because he died.
Well, right. That's why I said he went after. Well, because he murdered him. He murdered the husband. So after the husband was murdered, then he took her as his wife, even though he had sex with her before that. So he was in adultery.
What if the second or third wife, the reason why she feels the nudge in the spirit to stand is because maybe her ex-husband and that other wife were not with God, and God called her to stand for them to get restored and not for her own marriage.
Yes. If you go on to Praise Reports, praisereports.org, and look at the YouTube videos, there are two or three or four different videos on there of second and third restored marriages. Restored. Go watch their videos. But if you're in that situation, take it to the Lord. God will give you an answer. If you seek and you'll ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open to you. God's word, not mine. God's promise is not mine. Go and ask him. If any of you ask, I'm giving you scripture now, because this is what you guys need to know. If any of you lack wisdom, let him come and ask. And without chastisement, God will give you wisdom and discernment.
I think the way God is showing me I'm sorry. I just want to say, like, what he's put on my heart for different situations is that he does. You know, wherever we are in a situation, for instance, I heard of someone today, they went through all this stuff, and the reason, you know, they came to God way later in life, but if they hadn't have went through all that, they wouldn't have know what they know now, been able to do what they do now. So there's a reason he calls us when he does and why he changes in a night. And so if he's calling somebody who is, say, in a second marriage, not from adultery, maybe it was two young people, they got divorced, weren't Christians, whatever, from hell. My seeking is he called you at that time because of that. He's forgiven you. You're a believer now and you know better, and he doesn't want you to go forward in sin. He wants you to stand for that marriage, not have more divorces. That's how I see it. But it like he said, it depends. You have to ask God, and it really depends on the situation. Now, if you're
and only God knows all the variables.
Right.
Sorry, God.
Right. No, I was going to say, if you're standing, say you went with another man's wife or something, or another man's, woman's husband, and you're sitting there saying, God, I pray they divorce and we need to be together, or something like that. Well, no, that's sin. You're in sin. You know better. So, it depends, like he said, very much on the whole situation and what you knew.
With the hundreds of testimonials of restored marriages, I have not come across not one marriage that was restored where the marriage originated in adultery. Not one. Right. Not one. And God cannot deny himself, and God cannot lie. So if he says he hates sin, he will not bless sin. And some of you have this, and I know some of you have this burning question on your mind, and I know I get emails on this. God bless you. If you're one of the ones who sent me an email, I've said this in an email as well. If your husband or your wife is divorcing you while you're standing, and they're running off with the other person, and they are either have married the other person or have planned to marry the other person, that is an adulterous marriage, and God will not bless or honor that marriage because it is a sinful marriage. He won't even recognize it. So that's where I will say that much and draw the line there. That I know for sure, because that lines up with all of the scripture. Everything has to line up with scripture. Whether we believe we heard it from the Lord, or someone prophesied to us, or we believe we have a rhema word, whatever source that we feel we heard from God, it all always has to be tested against the word of God. And if it doesn't square up and line up with all of scripture, not just parts of it, but all of scripture, it has to square up with Genesis to Revelation. And if it doesn't, if there's a mismatch, then it's probably not from God. Because do you know how many times I've heard from I've read in testimonials and we've heard it from people, my spouse said, I heard it today from somebody, my spouse said that, God told me to divorce you so I can be with this other person. And he's gonna bless my marriage to this other person. That's a bald-faced lie from the pit of hell. It's got Satan's name written all over it. Because God hates divorce and God hates sin. See, it doesn't square up. So if you're standing for your marriage, how can you be standing for your marriage and praying for it and standing on a scripture and then God's going to say, well, Susan, I know this is your first marriage, and I know your husband ran off with this other marriage, and he's divorcing you and marrying this other person. And I know you're praying and you're standing on the scripture, but I'm going to say no to you and deny the scripture and deny myself so I can bless this affair and this adulterous marriage. Does that sound like God? He would deny you, deny his own word and scripture, deny your prayers, not honor your stand, because honor your spouse who's divorced you and ran off with this other person and plans on marrying them. Does that sound like God's character, nature, and word? No. I'm really glad we're recording this, because when we post this, I want you to go back and listen to this part I just said over and over and over and over again. Does any of this sound like what God would say to you? And does it square up with scripture? No, 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 and no.
I have to jump in here, please. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but But two things I have to say. First, everything you've said, I heard what you said. However, to me, in my mind, it doesn't line up with Luke 16:18. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away commits adultery. It doesn't say that while they were in an affair or if you were a Christian or this, it's plain black and white. Okay. Second thing,
okay.
I know some people maybe on this call or other groups are members of Covenant Keepers. I am not. I read up a little bit online, and the founder, Marilyn Conrad, stood for her marriage. Her husband at the time committed adultery. He was a pastor. I don't know how many different women he had affairs. He married one of those affair partners, and he died still married to that affair partner. And this was the founder of Covenant Keepers, Marilyn Conrad. Her marriage was never restored.
Okay, so what you're doing, I've heard this before, and here's the challenges with what you just said. What you're doing is you are...
I just want to say, Chris did not contradict Scripture. He did not say that it was okay to move on if adultery was committed. That's not what he said. I just want to kind of clarify that.
Okay. There are many. I'm gonna give you. You're right. You're right. And you know what? And there are many Christians who never receive a restored marriage. And I don't know the reason why, only God knows. But I will tell you that God's not a liar. But there are many Christians who live a defeated life. If we don't have the faith to stand on a promise that God gave us and boldly declare it, we will not receive the promise that God wanted to give us because we gave it away. God, what is Hebrews 11:6? I take no pleasure in those who are double-minded, and let them not expect anything from me. God's word's not mine. See, because I've struggled with that. What you're saying is right about that, you know, the covenant keepers. See, because at the beginning of my stand 2 years ago, I had a lot of questions. Why are so many Christian marriages not being restored? Because God's word is black and white. It's true. Why do I see so many defeated Christians in the church? And what I'm beginning to see and understand is like many Christians have doubt in their heart. I'm going to take you to Mark 11:22. Where does that come from? The disciples themselves could not cast out the demon in the son. That's the man's son. And Jesus scolded them a little bit and say, I have it pulled up here. Let me read it verbatim. You wicked generation, how long will I have to tolerate you? Here it is. And Jesus said to them, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him to me. And then Jesus rebuked the demon and came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Here's your answer. So what I don't want to hear is, but so-and-so's marriage is now restored, and this other person, you know what? I'm sorry. That is lying deception from the pit of hell. I'll tell you why, because it says so here. And I don't mean to offend you. But if we don't walk by faith, we're giving our victory away like candy. on Halloween. We're passing it out in third grade. Hey, demon, want another one of my promises? Here it is. Hey, Satan, how many do you want today? Here you go, here you go, here you go. I'm sorry, I'm passionate about this. You know why I'm passionate? Because I'm tired and I'm angry at Satan having too many victories. I see it on the prayer wall. I wanna pray and fast and just rebuke every. I want to get together with every single one of you and rebuke Satan.
Yes.
I am laying my hands on you and rebuking Satan and all the demons because they're lying and deceiving. Every single thing you are asking me, I struggled with those. And I found the answers in God's word because he's telling us here. I'm sorry, I'm not yelling and I'm not angry with you guys. I'm angry because lies and deceptions are so embedded in our minds. I'm 51 years old. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian family. And up until the last 2 years, I'm finally stepping into the truth that God gave us and the freedom and the deliverance and the dominion and power and authority Jesus Christ gave us over Satan and all the demons and all the power of Satan and hell. He gave us that. And we, because of our doubt, let me read here. Jesus, they came privately to Jesus. You know why? They were ashamed they couldn't do it. Jesus just scolded them. And you know what Jesus says? They said, why could we not cast it out? Why could we not get our marriage restored? Why could we not cast out the demons of sickness and disease? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and you say this mountain, move from here to there. Do you have a mountain in your life right now? Is there a mountain between you and your husband in your marriage? That's what Jesus is talking to you and to me. We have the faith. Listen, there's another scripture that says God gave us, each of us, when we became Christians, God gave us a portion of faith. You have the faith. You and I already possess within us the faith to move mountains. And we can't flick with our little finger a pebble because we have doubt that's standing in the way. You know what obstructs us from getting the answers to our prayers? Unforgiveness, doubt, and sin that we haven't confessed and repented of and turned away. So you know what? I can't answer for other people because I don't know their relationship with God and Jesus Christ. I don't know, but I know God's promises. And if I take him seriously, and if I step into the truth, and if I guard my heart from sin and any unrepentant sin and iniquity, and if I guard my heart from unforgiveness and from becoming hard-hearted towards my wife, do you know how often over the last 2 years I've been attacked by hard-heartedness from our enemy? Why should you go back, Chris? You're fine. Look, God's taking care of you. He's blessing you. You've got to be. Even this morning, I'm over at my wife's house. I just told you. I'm over at her place. I'm hanging out with the dog. I'm playing with him. I'm walking him. I'm running him around the yard. And Satan's coming to me saying, you've got it made. You don't need her back. She's a headache. She's a frustration. She's this. She's that. She's a responsibility. Why do you want that? You've got it made. You get the kids. You're in full control. You don't have to have her in your house. You don't have to have a contentious wife in your house. You don't have to have her be rebellious. You don't have to have her do this and that with you. This is Satan speaking to me this morning. And I'm laughing, saying, get away from me. Not get behind me, because Jesus said he's under my foot. Jesus said that in the New Testament. He gave us. Jesus put Satan and all the demons under our feet. So I said, Satan, get under my foot where you belong. You're my footstool. Get underneath me. And I resisted, and he ran away. Doesn't God tell us in the Bible, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Stay focused on what God told you. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. What did Peter do? Peter, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. He's focusing on Jesus. He's walking towards Jesus. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the winds and the waves, the circumstances, his lies and deception, what did he start believing? He started believing the lies and deception. But what about that marriage? What about this one? What about that one? What about this one? Oh, that preacher, he's holier than you are. And if God didn't do it, Charles Stanley, 2 years ago, Charles Stanley, hey, you know what I discovered? Charles Stanley, oh my goodness, his wife divorced him. And like 6 years later, she died. So, Scott, you're Satan. Satan lies, a liar, and he's a deceiver. And if we're not guarding our hearts with the spiritual armor and God's word every single day, if we don't write these things down and then look at it and say, Lord, where do you say this in the Bible? And then God's going to say, I didn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Because I looked at that and I said, God, if Charles Stanley couldn't have his marriage restored, who am I for you to restore my marriage? And then God gave me all these scriptures saying, don't worry about the other person because you don't know their heart. You don't know the doubt, the fears. You don't know what's going on with them. My relationship is private between me and God and Jesus Christ. You know nothing of it. And likewise, you know nothing of the other person, the other covenant keeper, the Charles Stanley. We don't know nothing. I don't know.
Amen.
I don't know, and I'm not going to judge them because I don't know. All I could say is I know what my God told me, and I'm standing on my word, on my faith, and I'm casting out all doubt, all fear, all lies, all deceptions, and you know what? God is bringing my wife home, and I am seeing more and more and more developing in my relationship with my wife. So you know what? I'm going to be on one of these conference calls. I'm going to be my own testimonial. I was thinking about this week. One of these weeks, we're going to hold a Thursday night conference call, and I'm going to tell everybody we have a restored marriage testimonial. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be me, and I'm going to say my wife is home. And let me tell you what God did. So I'm going to be the next testimonial coming up here real soon. Why? Because I don't have doubt anymore. When it comes knocking on my door, I say, Satan, you have no place here. Because I have too much truth now in my heart. Not my head, my heart. Okay, so who is King? Oh my goodness, it starts with a J. Someone help me out. King Jehoshaphat. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. King Jehoshaphat. He was approached by the Syrians. I'm going by memory, so please bear with me. He was approached by the representatives of the Syrian king, and he said, I think it was the Syrian king, and they said, we're going to come and we're going to take you as prisoners. And you can either come willingly or we're going to destroy you all. And just go and read it. Go read the story because it's beautiful. What I love about that story is that they came twice to King Jehoshaphat. Now, they prayed, they fasted. And what's interesting is that here's what they told King Jehoshaphat and all the people. They said, do you see all these other nations that we went to war against, that we conquered every single city? Why do you think your God will be able to save you when all these other gods of these other cities were not able to save them? And they told all the people, all the King Jehoshaphat's people, they said, don't believe King Jehoshaphat because your God is not going to save you. See all these other nations, all these other cities we've conquered and we've taken them prisoners or we've destroyed them all. So don't put your faith and your trust and your hope and belief in King Jehoshaphat's gods. King Jehoshaphat, God, because he will not save you. Well, the end of the story is that God defeats the entire enemy. And then when the Syrian king retreats and goes back home, within 1 to 2 days, his own sons murder him. The point of that story is it doesn't matter. Okay, here's another scripture. Though 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 fall at my right, divorce will not come to me and my marriage. I have prayed that scripture, that verse, for 2 years every day over my marriage. There's so much scripture. Though 1,000 marriages fall on my side and 10,000 fall on my right side, divorce will not come to me, my marriage, my home, my family. Period. Thus says the Lord to Chris. So you know what? You could choose to believe Satan's lies, or you could choose to believe God's written word. But if you're on the fence, Satan owns that fence, and you're on his property. That's all I have to say. So you know what? Anybody who comes to me and says, well, what about that person? What about that person? I'm sorry. I don't accept it. I deny it because that's not what God says in the Bible. And I can't account for somebody else's faith. I can't account for it. I can't judge it or account for it. I'm sorry. Not that I don't care. It's not going to affect me and my stand. God said it. I believe it. My wife's coming home because he said so. Because he said so, and I'm standing on his word. We don't need 100 verses. We need one. One's enough. I just realized we're way over time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. But I love you guys. I hate hearing when people tell me that because what it tells me is that you're believing the lie. And I'm telling you, I love you. I'm your brother in Christ, but that's not what God said in the Bible. Though 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 on my right side, divorce will not come to me. But there's scripture filled with these promises. But if we have doubt in our heart, expect nothing from the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, go look it up. Hebrews 11:6, go look it up. Jesus himself, Mark 11:22, 23, 24. Go read that. Jesus said it. God said it. Takes no pleasure in double-mindedness. When we doubt God, we call him a liar. Okay. Lisa, Sophia, help
Amen.
Me out. Close up.
Amen.
I don't
Amen.
Know what else to say.
Amen. That's all that needs to be said. Amen.
Amen.
Can I share a powerful scripture for everybody to hold on to tonight?
Sure.
Okay, really quickly, it's 1 Peter 5:10, and it's in his kindness. God called you to share your marriage in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after your marriage has suffered a little while, he will restore your marriage, support your marriage, and strengthen your marriage. He will place your marriage on a firm foundation.
Amen.
Add your marriage
Thank you for
to
that.
The scripture.
Amen. Thank you for that. Any other comments and questions?
I just want to say thank you for being obedient, Chris. I really believe that the Spirit of God was addressing the fear and the doubt because I know today was a battle for me, and that's exactly what I was battling. It was fear and doubt of what God has spoken. So again, thank you for your obedience, because I know that the Spirit of God, you know, was aggressively attacking the fear and the doubt that's trying to come in and stop us from believing God. So amen.
Okay. God bless you. God's word is mightier than a double-edged sword. It cuts to bone and marrow and divides soul and spirit. Who could stand? I'm just quoting scripture. Who could stand against God and God's word and God's will? That's scripture. Who could stand? No one. Did God say it and then not follow through and do as he said? Amen. Does anyone want to close this out with prayer? I'm going to close this out with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we want to just fall down at your feet, Father. We come boldly because we are your children. You've called us from before the foundations of the earth that you laid down. You already had us in mind. You've called us. You've called us for this day. You've called us for this hour. You've called us for this battle. But the battle is not ours. It's yours. And you've already given it to us at the cross with Jesus Christ. The victory is ours. It's ours to keep or to give away. Father, I pray, Father, that you don't let anybody who's hearing this prayer right now, that anyone who's hearing this conference call, that nobody grows weak in their faith, that they stand strong in the faith that you have given them. and that you minister to their hearts, how to use your word powerfully and mightily to cast out all fear and all doubt, because all fear and doubt comes from Satan, our enemy. And your love for each and every one of us in our marriages is perfect. And there's no fear in your love. So if you love us perfectly, there should be no fear. But if there is fear attacking us, we know where it's from. And knowing where it's from, Father, strengthen us and encourage each one of us to stand strong, resist, so that fear, that demonic fear, leaves and runs as you promised, Father, standing on your word. Father, build us up in your word and in your truth and your knowledge that we might proclaim your mighty word against our enemy. Because that's one of the weapons you've given us is a sword of the Spirit, which is your word. And by your word, we defeat our enemy. By your word, we stand in faith, knowing, not just simply hoping, but knowing you are faithful and you will restore our marriages. And for Father, for those who are not sure if there's multiple marriages, Father, I pray, open up those people's hearts and minds so you could speak your word of truth as to which marriage you will bless and you will restore. Because there's one there, one of them, you want to restore. Because you're all about relationship and marriage. So, Father, we pray, strengthen each of my brothers and sisters in this conference call. Strengthen them in their stand. Help them to grow and mature in the faith and the knowledge of you, Lord. And keep them, Father, on the straight and narrow path, focusing on you and you alone. Not what anyone else says, no one else's history or record or circumstance, just them and you. So you might move mightily in their hearts and transform their hearts. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed everyone. We'll see you on the prayer wall, and hopefully we'll see you back next week on the Thursday conference call. God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
God bless.
Thank you.
Good night.